I think the emphasis by the Army writ large is that we have a culture change. That what we're trying to do is that when someone raises their right hand and becomes part of this great institution, that this kind of behavior being sexual assault, is just simply not tolerated. And that we have prevalence out there, and we have some studies that show prevalence, but we also want to ensure that people do more reporting, so that if something happens to them in the realm of sexual assault, that they will report to authorities. And recently, the SAPRO report came out. SAPRO is the sexual assault response program, came out and said that our increase in reporting from last year, from FY12 to FY13, went up by 50%. So do I think there'll be more prosecutions? I think that's sort of a conclusion, and I'm not trying to not answer your question. Every case is individual, but I think the more reporting you get, the more that we'll have the kind of transparency on the system that those who have perpetuated these crimes can then be brought to justice. That includes, for instance, a court martial and bringing criminal sanctions against that individual.
Would it be fair or accurate to say that the increase in reporting reflects an increase in faith by the people reporting that something will happen in their behalf?
Absolutely. I think, and that is why I think the report is landmark in that regard. I think it's very important that people who come into the armed forces know that they report that something will happen. Now, there's two different types of reporting in the military. There's restricted reporting, which is I'm going to tell the Army that I am a victim of sexual assault, but I am not going to go forward on any criminal charges. I will get the services and the care that I need as a victim to make sure that holistic approach is taken so that I am able to get through this very difficult period. At the same time, there is unrestricted reporting. That is when criminal investigators will look into the crime of sexual assault. That is, as I said, up by 50%, which is incredible. But also in that report, Tom, are some indications of the trust that I think those people who are reporting have in the system. One is that nearly 10% of those reports, of the 5,100 reports, the sexual assault occurred before they even got in the military. So to me, that's an indication that they think that their chain of command, the Army, the institution, is going to handle this and take it seriously as we do. The other is that when you use the term sexual assault, the aperture of sexual assault is pretty wide. There are penetrative offenses. An example would be, unfortunately, rape. There's non-penetrative offenses, which would be inappropriate touching. These types of crimes of non-penetrative offenses are also being reported at a higher rate. So again, what we're trying to do is set a culture that this kind of behavior is not acceptable and that we will take action both from a accountability standpoint, but also to make sure that that victim is taken care of and that we do everything that we can within our power to make sure that they understand they're part of a team, and we need to make sure that they have our faith and confidence, and we have theirs.
We're speaking with Colonel Maxwell. He is the Strategic Initiatives Officer for the Army Judge Advocates General Corps, the JAG Corps. What happens to victims when they come forward and they say, I have been sexually assaulted, but perhaps I have violated a policy against drinking or some other thing? Do they stand to a risk of somehow being punished themselves?
Well, every case is going to be individual. In every case, we're going to have to look at it case by case. There are norms and where there are, if there's a violation of a regulation of a code, they too are subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. But whenever we're trying to make sure that that victim is made whole, we do a few things proactively for that victim. First, we get them a victim advocate. The victim advocate is trained through a course, certified, to make sure they know all the panoply of services that are out there, the array of services that the Army gives. We've also started a new program, which is part of the NDAA 13, which was initiated even before Congress legislated it, and that is the Special Victim Counsel Program. That is a judge advocate, much like myself, a barred attorney, who is a member of a bar of a particular state, to be able to help that victim through the process. That relationship is confidential. So therefore, what can happen is if there is some misconduct, that counsel can come forward and can talk with the prosecutors to make sure justice is done. And that is something that we have done on an array of instances. Unfortunately, when you're talking about an individual case, many times it needs to be tethered to the facts that are going to be significant. But the reality is that when you have a sexual assault, the Army takes that seriously, and we want to get to the bottom of it. We want to make sure that justice is done and the perpetrator is brought to justice within our system.
And just a question about the JAG Corps itself. This is a kind of load of hay that landed on you from Congress, and how are you inculcating all of these changes and making sure you can keep up with this new workload?
Well, you know, our judge advocate is Lieutenant General Flora Darpino. She's our judge advocate general. Our deputy is Major General Tom Ayers. And they have made it a priority. And they understand that, you know, as an all-volunteer force, we are a reflection of society. We get our people, and they do something that is pretty profound. They raise their right hand, and they swear an oath to the Constitution. And as a Judge Advocate General's Corps, we are expected to enable that commander, he or she, to set a climate and a culture that's going to say that this is not acceptable behavior, i.e. sexual assault. So standing up this Special Victim Counsel Program, we also 5 years ago started the Special Victim Prosecutors Program. That is to take individual judge advocates who are lawyers, just like myself, and are going to take these special kind of cases. On a personal note, having been a prosecutor twice and a defense counsel three times during the course of my career, sexual assaults can be sometimes very difficult cases to grapple with. So therefore, having this special training, we also marry up with our criminal investigators, and they have a special corps of investigators who know how to investigate these types of crimes. So there has been an increased signature in our demand, but ultimately, one thing that I think the audience should always remember, finding a solution set to this and getting a culture that we think is going to be one that everyone can prosper in is everyone's responsibility, but in particularly the responsibility of that commander, because that commander is going to set the tone, he or she, to make sure this kind of behavior is not accepted. And therefore, it's the JAGs who are going to be in that supporting role and help that command make sure that it is a sexual assault-free environment and one in which people can prosper.
We spoke for the series as well to Paula Coughlin, who was the whistleblower, you may remember, in the Navy tailhook scandal years ago. And
yes,
she and many others who have become advocates for victims would say that they will not have faith or have trust in the system until the commanders are removed of their authority over this. And what do you say as a prosecutor, as a defense attorney in the JAG Corps, what do you say to people like that to make them have faith in the system?
I think first and foremost, the person with the tools and the ability to affect cultural change is the commanders. We saw it with racial integration. We saw it with gender integration. We saw it with don't ask, don't tell. That cultural change is not going to be done by a band of lawyers. It simply is not. We look at our own general society, and we don't have that hierarchical society which will say this is important. The Chief of Staff of the United States Army has said, this is my number one priority. And I'm here to tell you, as a hierarchical society that listens to orders and that understands that what makes a great team is the team itself and every component of that team. Therefore, I think it is counterintuitive to think that, in fact, I would argue exactly the opposite. It is the commander who has the structure, the authority, but also is held accountable to make sure that we are in the right direction to making sure that we eradicate within our ranks sexual assault. So it is a difference of opinion. I respect her, but I, having 23 years in the military, just do not think that as a military hierarchical society, we are going to get at this problem, and I think we are going to fix it, and we are going to, much like the other things that we have societally done, we are going to lead the way to make sure that everybody within the ranks knows that they're safe, they're part of a team, and they should be proud to don the uniform.